Our text for this morning's homily is Psalm 92, part of which we have already sung, with these additional verses from the end of the psalm. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a first for me, preaching on Friday the 13th. I'm glad that you're here this morning. The fact that you got out of bed and came to the seminary and now in chapel is evidence of the fact that you have in your background good, solid Lutheran catechesis. Our text, Psalm 92, deals with praising the Lord, with worshiping the one true God. Now, a believer can praise the Lord anywhere, anytime, out loud or silently, by himself, or with other believers in public worship. Our focus this morning will be on public worship, since the title of Psalm 92 gives us the reliable information that the psalm was used on and perhaps composed for the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, we recall, the Israelites gathered together for public corporate worship of Yahweh. The verses of our text teach us why, to use the opening words of the psalm, it is good to praise the Lord. That is, to join with other believers in worshiping God. Thus, these verses remind us, and the people we will be serving, why it is important to be regular in attending worship services. We remember that it is good to praise the Lord for three reasons. This praising is commanded, it is enjoyable, and it is enriching. It is good to praise the Lord in public worship, since this is commanded or enjoined. We know about the Bible passages which indicate that believers in an area should gather together regularly to worship God. The first commandment says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God." And in the light of the rest of Scripture, this certainly includes public worship. Even before Scripture was written, the believers carried out this public calling on the name of the Lord. As we read at the end of Genesis chapter 4, and as we see in the lives of the patriarchs, thus praising the Lord is our duty. It is our duty because this is why God created the human race, to worship him and to serve him, as do the holy angels. And God accepts the praises of those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Who or what else is deserving of our worship and praise except the one true God, the creator and sustainer of this universe? Our duty becomes our safeguard. Publicly praising God draws our attention away from creatures and causes us to concentrate on the Creator. This leads us away from a sinful self-interest. Also, it is good to praise the Lord in public worship. When we explicitly verbalize these praises and speak them out loud, because this is enjoyable. Our duty is our delight. It is a man's duty to love his wife. It is also his delight. One reason worshiping the Lord is enjoyable is because in carrying this out, we are again fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. People by nature, left to themselves, will worship, but they will worship a false god or gods, and so miss the basic reason for their existence. They will live incomplete lives, unhappy lives, lives which are marked by disturbance and lack of peace. Believers have been blessed with knowledge of and faith in the one true God. Knowing him as they do, they want to worship God, and so they experience the goodness, the satisfaction, and joy of praising the Lord. Knowing God in faith, we believers find it enjoyable to think about God's tremendous love for us and his constant faithfulness. And so we enjoy proclaiming both in public worship. We are delighted by the truth that God is our rock, living as we do in this sinful, corrupt world, which is always changing and full of deceptive quicksand. And so we like to confess and proclaim our unchanging, steadfast God. We are reassured when we hear that the Lord is upright and there is no unrighteousness in Him. And so we lovingly confess our holy God. As our psalm says, we are made glad when we meditate on God's wondrous deeds, so that we sing for joy at the works of His hands. Paul writes in Colossians about the Colossians' worship with this description, that they were singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in their hearts to God. And that depicts our response to the awesome God. Praising God together in public worship, we are also encouraging one another in the faith. Our joy is enhanced. Thus, we believers find it good to praise the Lord because we have been led to know about spiritual realities, and we perceive with the eyes of faith God's wondrous acts on our behalf, including His greatest deed, our salvation. God's saving work is the reason for and the basis of our praising Him. We confess that we are sinful, sinful from the moment of conception, and that we give evidence of our sinful nature with our manifold violations of God's holy will. Left to ourselves, we would be spiritually lost, helpless, condemned, without hope, destined for hell. But because God the Father sent His Son to become a man, to acquire for us a saving righteousness with His holy life and His substitutionary death, and because Jesus arose from the dead, we have everlasting life. Through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness and blessed fellowship with God by God's grace. We exult, we boast, we rejoice in the God of our salvation. Worshiping the Lord publicly is our duty. It is also our delight. Such worship is good for a third reason. Not only is it enjoined and enjoyable, it is also enriching. God comes to us in the worship service with His spiritual blessings. He comes to us through the Word, which we confess and chant and read responsively and sing. Through the Word read from the lectern, preached in the pulpit, prayed at the altar. Through the Word spoken during holy baptism. And Christ comes to us in a special way in His Blessed Supper. Through His Word and Sacrament, God strengthens our faith. We are spiritually enriched. As part of this enriching, God equips and empowers us to lead godly lives. Through His means of grace, God strengthens and motivates us to keep on praising Him in public worship and to show our faith in other ways. He enables us, like healthy plants or trees, to bear fruit, good works, for His glory. Using the imagery of our text, the righteous believers planted in the house of the Lord, regularly attending worship services, will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They will continue to grow in the faith and increase in their fruit bearing for the Lord. In fact, these worshipers, as our text says, will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green spiritually. After this life, our praising the Lord and bearing fruit for Him will continue in the life to come. Those of us who have made calls on older brothers or sisters in the Lord know what a powerful witness they can give. Although they may not be able to do much physically, from the physical standpoint, they still bear fruit for the Lord with their thoughts and words. Guided by our text, we can see these older believers in the worship services as beautiful examples of God's goodness. Planted by the Lord in His house, They are still flourishing like a palm tree. They are growing like a cedar of Lebanon. They are, by God's grace, staying fresh and green. Our text reminds us that it is good to praise the Lord, and specifically to do this praising in public worship, to be regular in our attendance at worship services. Such worship is commanded, it is also enjoyable, and it is certainly enriching. May our prayer be, Lord, keep us planted in your house, that we may forever praise you, our rock and our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.